Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our sermon text this evening that we just heard read a few minutes ago, we hear Jesus telling the parable of the fig tree. Maybe that's not one of the most famous or favorite parables that Jesus told. In fact, as we read through that parable and the note that it ended on, remember that it ends kind of on a negative and a bit of a threatening note, in fact. Think about yourself. I don't know if any of you have a green thumb, like to do some gardening or some planting, cultivating of either fruit trees or vegetables. I don't do too much of that myself, but I know that some of you do. Think about if you were so inclined and you'd planted a fruit tree in your yard, and here in Chicago, of course, you have very limited space in your yard, and so if you're looking to get some produce from what you have planted, you're not going to waste the space on planting something that will be unproductive. So if you planted a fruit tree and after it's matured and you're expecting it to produce fruit, and year after year it continues not to produce fruit, would you let it continue to stay there and take up the space and use up the soil instead of planting something else that will produce fruit? Probably not, unless you had some kind of special emotional attachment to that tree. But we can be glad that our God is not as harsh as we are in those practical matters when it comes to our spiritual lives. Think about your life over this past year, or as referenced in the parable, over the past 3 years. If we were to honestly record all of our weaknesses and sins and failings, we'd have to admit that we are far from being perfect. In fact, we have fallen far, far short of what God demands. But we can be grateful that another year of God's grace to us is about to begin. And being thankful is just the first step in changing the pattern of the new year. Our gratitude must be combined with action in our hearts and lives. Our text tells us that God is patient, that He gives us another chance. But on the other hand, our text also reminds us that as Christians, we must bring forth some good fruit in our lives. Often the Bible compares the believer's positive response to the good news of God's saving love for us with good fruit, producing good fruit. A barren tree yields no fruit. A barren Christian yields no good deeds in his or her life. A person whose faith is dead brings forth no evidence of faith in their lives. And when Jesus first spoke this parable, it was directed to his fellow people, the Jewish people of his day. People, many of whom we read elsewhere in the gospel books of the Bible, felt comfortable in their relationship with God simply because of who they were. Because they were descendants of Abraham. They were part of God's chosen people of Israel. But as we see it through the preaching of John the Baptist and of Jesus, for centuries, God had been waiting to see the fruits of faith of His people. And now was the time that God was coming to collect that fruit, just like the owner of the vineyard who had a right to collect the fruit from the vineyard. There's a warning here for us too, even us who live centuries after Jesus first spoke this parable. Because of course, the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the fig tree, our God, is coming to us also. When God looks at the tree of our life, what will He find there? Where is the fruit that God has a right to expect from us? Now, as we mentioned, this day, New Year's Eve, the end of a calendar year, is a very good time to ask and consider these questions. New Year's Eve is a time when many people are making resolutions for change in their lives in the new year. Have you made any resolutions yet? Have you made any in the past? what have been some of the resolutions that you've made? Do your resolutions tend, perhaps, like mine often do, to be rather vague and a little bit fuzzy on the details? Something like, I resolve to try to be a better person. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But the problem is that it's a bit too vague to pin down and to really check later on to see, have I fulfilled that resolution? The Word of God that we heard in our readings from the Bible tonight tells us that we should produce good fruit, not just good resolutions. A fruit tree is of no value at all if all we receive are promises of good fruit in the future, but never actually receive that fruit. A fruit tree is healthy and valuable when it actually bears good fruit. And so it is with us. Our faith, if it is real, living, and active faith, must express itself in tangible, observable ways in our lives of love toward God and towards other people in our lives. And this is where we have to understand the relationship between faith and good works. We Lutherans especially know that a person is saved only by God's grace, by grace alone, not by our own good works or our own good deeds. God's word clearly teaches this again and again. And here are just a couple of examples. Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There are no exceptions. This, in fact, is the very reason for our church's existence, to bring the good news of God's forgiveness and salvation through Jesus to people who would otherwise be damned to hell because of their sins. We are here to proclaim that sinful mankind has been redeemed by Jesus' blood, the blood that he shed for us on the cross of Calvary. We have to say this evening, in all honesty, you are a sinner. There is nothing that you can do for your salvation. Like it or not, by virtue of your own merits, you would be condemned to hell apart from faith in Jesus as your Savior. That is the stark reality that God's Word portrays for us. That hearing that stark message can take our breath away, and it can take our pride away. Our pride, which often deludes us into thinking that we're okay with God because we've tried harder than the other guy. Our pride, which so often deludes us into thinking that we must look pretty good to God, because after all, we come to church and we give offerings and we try our best to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't commit the crass sins that the criminals in our society today commit, of murder and grand theft and all other kinds of heinous and horrible crimes. Well, at this point, we must stop and think about what has happened when we get to this point. Are we trying to be right with God on the basis of our own record, even as faulty and as flawed as it is? The gospel tells us that God has already done everything for our salvation. Now, an unrepentant sinner balks at this. He doesn't really see the need for God's salvation. The unrepentant sinner is comfortable in his present lifestyle. He feels that he's already acceptable to God on his own because he tries pretty hard. He's not as bad as some other people. Such a person, and each of us sometimes is that way, needs to hear the harsh words of God's law, words that we just spoke to ourselves. Such a person needs to fall down on his knees before God and say, together with that repentant sinner in another one of Jesus' parables, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then, and only then, Are we ready to hear and to truly appreciate the sweet and powerful comfort of the gospel? Then the gospel is no longer an offense to us, but rather a joy for us to hear. Only then, when we realize that we need the salvation, the forgiveness that Jesus brings, only then are we ready to really bring forth some good fruit in our lives. New Year's Eve is a good time to consider these thoughts. As we look back over this past year, let's be honest with ourselves and let's admit our failures and our sins against God's law. Then consider how much and how often we have been forgiven by our gracious God. This realization of how much we are forgiven and how much we are loved by our Heavenly Father puts us in the right frame of mind to bring forth some genuinely good fruit in our hearts and lives. Motivation is the key. God doesn't expect us to bear good fruits as part of our salvation in order to earn His favor and to earn our salvation. If part of our salvation were to depend on us, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Was Jesus' death only effective in paying for part of our sins or part of the penalty of our sins? Was Jesus' righteousness only partially credited to our account by our Heavenly Father? We see how blasphemous that kind of thinking is. As far as our salvation goes, the emphasis is never on our actions or our obedience. We're not saved merely by church membership or by church attendance. Think about this question that's sometimes asked in an evangelism presentation. If you were to die tonight and God were to ask you why He should let you into heaven, what would you say to Him? What would your answer be? Would your answer be, "Well, God, I've tried to live a good life. I've done my best. I've gone to church. I've been faithful to my spouse. I believe in hard work. I try my best to provide for my family. I've always believed in You, God." Notice the common denominator in all of those answers. It's I, me, and what I've done. Well, we know, of course, from God's Word what our answer should be. We can look our Heavenly Father in the eye and say, "I know that You will allow me into heaven because Your Son, Jesus, has already paid the price for my soul. I cling only to Jesus and only to His merits, His blood that He shed in payment for my sins, His perfect life in my place." Because of Jesus, we can know for sure where we will go when we die. God's Word tells us that this is so. God promises this to us. In that favorite passage, John 3:16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And so now that good news brings us to our response, our bearing good fruit in our lives. What better way could there be for us to enter a new year? As we look back on this past year, we're overwhelmed by the gospel, by God's love to us. We see just how much we have been loved and forgiven by our Heavenly Father. And as we look forward to the new year, to 2022, we also have this overwhelming, gracious love of God in front of us. We see God's love in the past and in the present, and we know it lies ahead of us in the future. This good news of God's love motivates us. It controls all of our thinking and everything that we do in our lives. In the parable that Jesus told, just as that owner of the vineyard, of the fig tree in the vineyard, came each year looking for fruit on that tree, so God comes to us year after year looking for good fruit in our hearts and lives. God, our Heavenly Father, is looking for the results of faith in our lives. And just like the gardener in the parable, Jesus, God the Son, pleads with His Heavenly Father to wait another year while He digs around the tree and while He fertilizes us with His Word. This past year, Perhaps some of your loved ones have gone on to their eternal home of heaven. But you and I here tonight were not called to our eternal home of heaven in this past year. God the Son, the gardener, is still working on us and in our hearts. We all have the chance right now to respond to God's gracious love to us. And one day in the future, we will be cut down. Death will come to all of us. And so now is the time to prepare. Prepare by repenting. Then continue to be strengthened in your faith by God's word. As you hear God's word here in our worship services and in our Bible study and Sunday school here at church, in your personal and family devotions at home, and as you receive strengthening in your faith in the Lord's Supper here at church. These are concrete resolutions for us in our Christian lives in the new year. Resolve to pray personally and have personal devotions, to pray and have devotions together with your family. Resolve to put your talents to work in some way here in the church as part of the mission that God has given to us as a church of sharing the good news of his love with the people of our community. Think about perhaps resolving to try to bring at least one soul to know this saving, forgiving love of God through Jesus in this coming year. Don't give up. Keep witnessing to that person. Let the Holy Spirit do the work through the word of the gospel that you share with that person, of bringing that person to faith in Jesus as their Savior. Help to bring the fruit-producing gospel to other people whose lives do not yet know the joy of bearing fruit for a loving God. Live your life for Jesus. Not because you want to do so as a means of trying to earn your salvation, but because you know that Jesus has already earned your salvation for you. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month or next year. Now is the time to begin bearing some good fruit. This is a Christian resolution for the new year. Amen.